Everybody stand for the invocation. Randy, you do the honors.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for the rain we had. Once again, we thank you for this facility that you've given, entrusted it to us, and the principles of flight. Just give us wisdom on the city's business. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A roll call now, Secretary, please.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Klein.
Here.
Jerry McLaughlin is out. Howard Robacker.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
We have Quorum.
Okay, we got Quorum. All right, we got to have an election of officers, chairman and vice chairman.
All right, I'll nominate Jerry for president.
He just did it before.
Well, he did?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
There is it your turn again?
I'm vice chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah, move him up.
Yeah.
I'm nominating Terry.
I nominate Terry.
All in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? This is on four. It's okay.
Vice chairman?
We need a vice chairman. Now we turn to the.
All right. I'll do it.
Okay.
I can't make the nomination.
I'll nominate Chuck.
Got a motion? Do you have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Jerry escaped. He escaped unscathed. Okay, consideration of minutes.
I move they be approved as written.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Motion carries. Unfinished business. Property sale.
So I just got an update from our procurement department. The city council's approved the contract between the city and CBRE. The statement of terms, the contract, Tiffany was quick to say it's not necessarily a contract, but more like a statement of terms, because we technically fall under a state contract that we're piggybacking on. But again, these are the percentages on the screen. Those are
essentially the real estate listing agent.
Yes, yes. But on parcels 5 and on 6, on the north end of the airport, there's a co-listing fee with Front Street, which is a local brokerage firm. So we've got a couple different agreements there. We're working on getting everyone all the information on the airport and on the properties and the values and the appraisals and whatnot. But we're anxious to get started on that.
Questions, comments? How long is the Front Street document in effect for, just out of curiosity?
I believe it's a 1-year term, and I can verify that.
It is what it is. I'm just curious. Okay. Terminal pre-design.
Yeah. So this is the latest version. It's a little clearer. Sorry. There it is. So this is a little clearer. The restaurant space has been reduced significantly. This is shown about, I think it's around 16 or 17,000 square feet. But this is the general space relationship floor plan that we'll be presenting, or I should say that the consultant will be presenting at the Tuesday workshops. There's 3 of them.
What's the brown spaces?
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Those are airport administration offices.
That looks like an add-on to the way it's defined, Chase. The building would be about symmetrical if it wasn't for that.
Wow. Well, we can delete it. I don't need
it.
What are those?
I just wonder why it's
those
done
are
that way.
Chairs right there in the front?
Carpet, couches, chairs. I mean, this is just doesn't have to look like that, but it's supposed to give you an idea.
Yeah,
of, you know, like
and then closer to the entrance, what are those? No, closer to the entrance.
Here?
Yeah.
Well, this is street side entrance, and these are additional chairs and seating.
Okay.
But it could be anything. Open space.
By the way, an appropriate airplane hanging from the ceiling would be a PT-17.
Yes, maybe.
A what?
Skierman.
Where are you going to get one of them?
Donation.
Will you donate mine to hang in the lobby?
No, I wouldn't suggest that, Terry. But I mean, that's such an important airplane in the history of Ocala.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it would be good to find one, put one in there.
Where do the public greet the FBO people?
This is the FBO waiting area. The reception area is right here.
Yeah, why don't you go through the whole thing and explain us the different areas?
So.
This is a conceptual plan.
It's gonna change.
Yeah.
So here's just a general conference room here. This purple color is FBO related space. They've got their waiting room here. This is the front desk reception area. Circulation corridor, line crew storage, staff locker room, other storage, offices. You know, what's nice about this arrangement, I'm sure we'll have windows at the line crew area, which they are currently lacking now. They can't see airplanes coming or going. If you circle around the corner here, there's another corridor, mechanical, electric, storage. The women's and the men's room are here. We've got some leasable space right here. This is some additional crew, like flight crew, transient flight crew, flight planning, things like that.
Now, with those leasable, that wouldn't be the car.
No, that's aviation related.
No shower for the...
I thought we had one in here. But that's something that you can bring up on Tuesday's meeting, for sure.
I mean, for the flight, they don't have their own bathroom, the flight people?
It's one thing that, Mike and I discussed this morning was we probably need some additional bathrooms in this arrangement. If not on this side, but definitely over by the restaurant side. Because one of the things that is nice about this layout is you can isolate the car rental business and the restaurant business from the rest of the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did that, we would definitely need some bathrooms on that side as well. So we've got the airport operations office here. This is a tad bit bigger than what we have right now. A little bit more organized. We're spread out all over the place now. And then you've got the restaurant, this green area. Event seating if they needed to, like a separate room right in this area. Good kitchen prep. Off on this side, we have a drive and access gate. This is nice because if they had off-airport catering, they could pull up with their catering vans, load up away from the rest of the terminal area, and then pull out again. And then we'll have apron access on this end as well. The car rentals are in this area here. You've got equally sized rental counters and then private offices in the back. And then again, this is a leasable office space for, could be anything.
There's three enough. We've got three now, don't we?
We have three now. We're packed tight with them.
I know, but I mean, there's others.
Any more, and we could have a parking issue.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation would be to stick with these current rental companies. Build the building, occupy it, see how the traffic patterns flow. If there's room to expand and we can accommodate it, then we can look at it at that time.
But from the get-go, the get-ready area for the cars, the washing and cleaning and vacuuming and all that that's at the front door of our other terminal, that's not going to be anymore. But do we have a place for that we're going to do simultaneously so that
we do
they keep cars and clean up in a different area?
We sure do. I met with the city attorney on Monday to talk about the new car rental leases, and part of that includes significant rent increases, but it also identifies the old Fuel Farm location on the north end of the airport as being converted into their car wash cleaning area, vacuuming service. So it is far removed from the terminal area, and that'll ensure that the front door to the terminal is kept clean.
I think one of the things that needs to be done is the leasing of the, you've got to limit, if there's three of them, you've got to limit them to so many parking spaces.
Yes, we're proposing 25.
If they want more, you do it, but they need to keep a percentage of their cars off-site or off of, you know, off of the prime parking.
We've identified 25 spots for each company right now, because they're the...
How many parking spots are there altogether?
150.
Well, that seems like a lot. You take a half the parking place for rentals, and it's already full of people now. I mean, you're not going to have any parking.
There will be an expansion on the west side of the parking lot, part of the project, tying in the existing to the terminal. So we'll have some expansions there. The ready return area is going to be a little different. It'll be off on the side. That'll be, it's not on this map, but that'll be somewhere over on this area over here. I think it'll work. I think that many parking spaces is adequate for their existing business. That's what they've been using for years so far, especially ADA.
Well, I don't understand it works for them, but does it work for the FBO and everybody else to have 75 parking spaces? How many do you have here now? Kyle, do you know how many? Of course, you're not filling it all the way up, but you know, that parking lot down there is full right now.
And it's all rental companies. Yeah. But they're taking advantage of it, too. I mean, we're not policing the 25-lot rule either.
You got to count them every day.
They're the only ones that are there right now.
I'll play devil's advocate just a second. How many national car rental agencies are there?
I couldn't even.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. But probably more than we have here.
Yeah.
At least a half a dozen, but the major ones are
to the nationals that they can come in and bid on this, or we're just going to arbitrarily award it. How do you cite who you can put in there?
Well, I spoke with our procurement department about it, and if we've done the research on the rates, if all three of these agree to the rates that we're proposing, then there's no reason why we shouldn't go with the same ones that we have. We're proposing.
You're just extending their current lease.
Who do we have now?
Hertz, Avis, and Enterprise. Enterprise also has a national branding with them, and Avis has a budget branding tied in with them as well.
I was just curious, because you have bid a lot of stuff out. I just wondered how are we going to, if a national company says, I'd like to see about getting in this place.
Well, most of them, are these local franchise? In a city like this, there aren't company stores.
They're not company stores. Okay.
I think
actually,
Kyle, you have a different rental car franchise here, don't you?
No, so we're contracted for Hertz. All throughout every single shelter, we have a contract for Hertz.
So, that the five of them, you know, are mostly the rental car companies that I see in a lot of reports.
And the majors.
It's a limited field, but this thing would become.
They don't seem to care about, because I notice how rental car bills, and we have got a lot of pushback where we've raised the cost of rent, because it becomes a pass-through. You rent a car here, and if the airport fee's $5, that's what they charge you. If it's $10, they charge you that.
Yeah.
In some places, it's more than that.
Yeah.
So,
well, I've rented cars all over the country, and they vary more than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
From $19.95 a day to like $300 a day. I mean, you can't figure it out.
Yeah, but at the end of the contract, they get down there the airport location fee.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably what it makes.
And that's generally pretty hefty.
And you know, this is a good conversation. It's taken a while to get our proposed rental car lease agreements reviewed by legal. They promised that I should get it back in about 2 weeks' time. It'll go in front of this board, and y'all can approve it, recommend it to the city council, or you could recommend that we put it out to bid.
Any airport that has them, you could look at some of the leases.
We've also got a great comparison on the rates that they charge as well. And we're looking at going from, right now we charge 3%. We're looking at increasing that immediately to 5% of their gross sales. Once completion of the car wash facility is done this year, it'll jump to 7%. And then at completion of the terminal building, when they move in, it goes to 10%.
How does that compare?
It compares very well with all the other locations.
Well, you got two kinds of locations. We're technically not a very viable location because we don't have airspace. But because it's at the airport, people go to the airport because that's where they go to rent a car.
Yes.
So we found that out kind of accidentally, and it worked really well.
Well, I'll give you an example of some of the fees that the rental car companies agreed to. Hertz, in their agreement with Shelter, pay Shelter somewhere around 12% for every car that they rent through here. 12%. On top of that, they pay us 3%. Some of the research that we did, and we looked at comparable airports, we discounted Orlando International. Their percentage is huge. We wouldn't be able to. They have a captive audience there, right? So they can charge that. 10% we feel is a competitive rate. They're close to 10, if not at 10.
Well, you have to take GA airports that don't have air service to be compatible.
We are the only GA airport that I could find in Florida that has three standalone car rental companies at it. Most of them don't even have one. Most of them just have agreements with the car companies where the customer service representatives at the FBO have three or four rental cars and they rent them out as the customers come in. Mm-hmm. We are an anomaly, basically.
We don't want to price ourselves out.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
we will.
But people come to the airport because airports are where you associate renting a car at airports.
That's right.
And, you know, there's, if we had one standalone company, then it got noticed by the competitors, so then they showed up. And then in 2004, Hertz desperately wanted to come on board because two of their competitors were on the airport, so then we picked up Hertz back in 2004, 2005. We really didn't have the parking facility to operate three car companies at that time.
We should be careful negotiating with them, but there will be a pushback at some number. Business. They're going to push back. So we don't want to exceed their hassle factor. Or their push back
the hassle factor.
Okay.
I like that.
Not a good idea.
I'll use that one. You wanted me to scroll somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't want to go back down to see the...
Over here?
Yeah, just the whole... See the floor plan. Is anybody concerned about the amount of that open space in the center there?
No, I don't know what that amounts to in terms of square footage or what you're looking at, but it's a percentage of the building.
We have that here.
I mean, you need that.
I know you need some. I'm just curious.
I'm sorry, I can't get it more focused. It's
right, well,
it doesn't look out of kilter.
3,400 square feet. They're talking about that.
Oh, the open area in the middle is 3,400 square feet. But those are great questions to ask at the Tuesday workshop. When the architect will be here, and those questions will come up in the charrette process. You'll see images and examples of other facilities, and you'll be able to basically vote on what you feel is important.
By the way, this is the first floor. Is there a second floor?
It's only one floor. It's a single story.
I see. The original building was more than one story, wasn't it?
When we had high hopes for cheap construction costs. Inexpensive construction costs.
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
Well, now we got fantastically high, $350 a square foot.
Yeah. And again, that number represents everything. That's from the design fees, that's furnishings, permitting, that's going to be everything, all inclusive.
It's all.
Yeah. Generators. The contingency is in that too.
The restaurant buys all their own kitchen equipment and does their own build out.
That's the way we're looking at it. We'll build the shell for them and then they can finish it out.
Well, the FBO probably should look at the FBO the same way.
That's a
I don't know.
I mean, they're gonna build out their own cabinets and fixtures, you know, for their own branding.
Or work with them to. I would have liked to have seen in the plan that we were talking about, you've got two areas for rental of office space. I think there's a lot more potential for renting office space in this building after we leave it, or there, and I think both of those should be exploited. But, the flight school we want to use in here, and but in addition to that, there can be, you know, some of this other can be converted to the people who need office space on the, will be on the airport.
Absolutely. This building will remain in the Shelter leasehold, and we would look to them to lease it out appropriately.
Yeah.
And hope they get a fair return.
But you're looking at building, you know, we're looking at building for 30 years. I think already, to me, already almost looks filled up and where we are next week. I don't see a lot of
Well, there is the ability to expand on this end here. That's what this line here, future build out expansion right here. Certainly good questions that we can talk about during the workshop.
Well, like Chuck said, one of the things we talked about before was building a two-story and not finishing the second floor. those kinds of things. I mean, just a shell.
If we can afford it. If we could afford it.
I don't know what's been looked at in terms of where the 20-year, 25-year need is, and that's going to dictate. But the rental car companies, to me,
the 20-year need, if I recall correctly, was close to 24,000 square feet. Today's need was around 16 to 18.
Well, maybe we're there. I don't know.
God bless you. One of the things that we could do, and this got kicked around in staff meetings, if the bids come in high in order to build what we need, then we could build the shell of the airport admin here and then finish it out at a later date. So we'd have the building shell there, but we could do the interior build out, I don't know, in a year and a half or so, once we build up additional funding on the airport.
The expansion space you have on the right-hand side there, what's the total square footage if you were to build the walls and everything out? Is that curiosity, do you know?
My eyes aren't that good.
Okay.
16,214 square feet.
Did you leave any connecting corridors, potentially, to get to it, or how would you access it if you built and you've already leased the space
I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood your question. Was it how much
there,
space could
there,
we?
Yeah, you've got how much there?
It's quite a bit.
All right, how are you going to access it from the main building? I don't see anything that looks like a corridor. Maybe some of those hash lines up there.
I mean,
are.
You could maybe do something like this. Or maybe it would be completely separate. Maybe this is U.S. Customs. Maybe this is airline holding area, if we get service. In which case, it would be good to have it separate from the rest of the building.
No, air service, I don't think air service could come. I mean, I spent a lot of time working on that in the past.
Yeah.
But now, if you had air service with the other side of the airport being built out, you'd have to build a separate terminal.
It would be better over on the other side. Yeah. But from a temporary standpoint,
I'm just curious. In order
to get them here, once they're
I hate
here,
to see
it would
you
justify
your office
that expansion.
And have to walk through the mud and the rain.
Yeah.
I just don't see the airline model anymore, and we spent a lot of money, a lot of time for the mid-80s study we did, exhaustive study, visited airlines, every airline. Talked to, we had the best consultant, I think, that you could find, and seeing that hustle for the nightmare. I've got all that, a lot of that information that ought to be archived somewhere, because I don't know if it's still existing anywhere else. Except in my office, it's not going to do anybody to get there. But we put a lot of time, effort, and energy and visited a lot of airlines. And we had Eastern Airlines, and then they went out of business coming back. the model right now of the air, unless it's a Southwest kind of airline who operates out of somewhere else, and they're not even doing that anymore. The only one that really is Allegiant, and they're in Sanford, they're not going to come here. But there could be an Allegiant
they're in Daytona too.
Goes from somewhere else that comes here, and we could meet a need from there. Enough people here, but it's just, because of the distance to Orlando.
And 9 other airports that surround us that have commercial service?
But it's not really 9. Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, we've got Gainesville, number 4, Daytona, and Gainesville.
Jacksonville, St. Augustine has service, Daytona.
I mean, real airports where you got everything.
You can get to Washington, D.C. from St. Augustine.
Yeah, but that's the only place you can get to.
Sanford.
Yeah. Well,
maybe 9.
I mean, there's 9. So, Sanford, you've got Orlando, you got Daytona, you got St. Augustine,
well,
Jacksonville.
But all those airports, yeah.
Gainesville, Lakeland on occasion had service, Tampa Clearwater, and Tampa International.
And Lakeland has the same problem that Ocala has, too close to town.
Yeah.
And Orlando. Either way.
But their time will come as the development of that corridor keeps
building. That could happen here. Mm-hmm. The drive time and the population base changes and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're competing with the convenience of an hour and a half drive for some of those airports. And what market can Ocala serve as being underserved by those areas?
No.
It's tough. It's tough.
Gainesville's the closest thing you could look at. It would be a mirror image of what we'd be looking at. And the ticket prices are always high on it. And it's a connecting point through Charlotte or, no nonstop.
Well, so 8:30 Tuesday morning is the workshop time allocated for the airport board.
I'll be out of town next week.
We have a meeting set up with Councilman Hilty. March 6th?
March 6th.
If you're in town, perhaps you could attend that as well. Like a makeup
who's
session.
That's
it. Councilman Hilty won't be able to attend Tuesday's meeting. So to bring him up to speed, we have a separate meeting set up for him.
Okay.
But why don't we're going to have the consultant there and everything.
Okay, let me know when it is.
I'll send you an event.
City Hall?
2 o'clock, sir. Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock on March 6th. Mavel Ford, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 o'clock March 6th, and that'll be at City Hall.
That way we can have the entire collective board's opinion on it.
Okay.
Good.
That'll work out.
Good.
That'll be great. Yeah. We want everyone to have an opportunity to weigh in on that.
Yeah, moving on?
Yeah. So 8:30 with the tenants on the board, 11:30 with the city council, and then we have a 5 o'clock with the general public. And it's all in this room. On the minimum standards, the board received a copy of what was done at the Executive Airport in Orlando. I've incorporated that language into our existing minimum standards. There might be some formatting requirements in here. Stand by.
15.
It's highlighted in red. Yes, 15.
I thought we were going to leave this out altogether.
Well, maybe I misunderstood.
Hmm?
Did I misunderstand the board? Were we going to stay silent on it?
Well, the idea of, I think what we've got now in the way of a maintenance operator seems to be working, but leaving that in, making that more official seemed to be a problem long term in terms of potentially attracting a shop and having competition, or this kind of competition. I think what this was meant to do was to more do what you need to have done if the 737 breaks down and you have to bring somebody in to work on that, which is nobody obviously,
they're
capable of doing.
I apologize. The board's direction was to include language in the T-hanger agreement that would facilitate this type of a maintenance operation, and that part I didn't get done. So I would ask that we continue that to the next meeting.
Okay.
And I'll bring an updated T-Hanger agreement.
The only thing we would do with the T-Hanger agreement would be to allow a licensed mechanic to, you know, at least work on an airplane in a T-Hanger. And that's a rule,
yes,
rather than a, this is much more of a formal document.
Yes.
That's just kind of a local rule that we can amend and change very easily. We can amend and change this, I guess, but this ought not to be changed at all.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Briefly on our operations there, we're just about 500 more bops this January than we did last January. So, too much going on there. And as far as our fuel goes, our avgas was down a little bit this month. However, the Jet A was up enough that we had an overall 1.2% increase. Where we are with the numbers thus far.
And Kyle said that this month is tracking really well with the fuel sales. How well?
Get any phone call?
Oh, it isn't? I thought it was.
We were missing our horse charter.
Mm. Yeah, you can see that in this operations chart, which I so you've got air carry operations in January 2016, we had two, and we had four in February. Those are all horse charters, pretty much. We have none in January and February this year, but they really changed up the way they do things over at OBS this year because of all the construction that they've got going on.
And we still have yet to see the schedule.
My next question, when are they going to be finished over there?
Jerry's a contractor. That's probably why he's not at this meeting.
Oh, Jerry's a contractor?
Yeah.
I'll call him. I got a sale.
That's it on the fuel and the ops. I can tell you we're really focusing in on two future FAA grants, the fire truck and the wildlife fence. We've got a lot of communication back and forth with the FAA on those. Just trying to get all the ducks in a row for those two applications. The terminal, existing terminal, we keep fighting the bathrooms in that facility. The piping is 50 years old, basically. So we've redone the fixtures in the ladies' bathroom in the old terminal building, dressed it up a little bit. We've had the plumber out here snaking lines, but it seems like about once a month they back up and they flood. And we're trying hard to keep
everything. Is that on a septic tank or they have on the sewer?
Oh, that's on sewer. That's on sewer. But we're trying real hard to make them happy, keep them happy. We've got cleaning service. They're there three times a week, basically Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we rely on them for a lot of communication on issues. And frankly, the communication's not happening. I guess they mopped around a broken toilet and never told anybody about it. So we learned about it when it was an emergency. We've had some discussions about that. But we'll keep that going. It's important to get this terminal project moving forward and keep moving forward. We need to replace what we've got out there and get a decent facility for it. Those are all the topics that I had.
Anybody else wishing to appear? Comments?
How's it going, Ron?
Nothing? Take a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
I got a motion to have a second.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. That's been fun.